Mind the Gap, You're in the Hot Springs Underground, a weekly podcast about local music, art, film, and more. Brought to you from the Razorback Camper Sales Studio. I'm your host, Lance Brownfield. With me today is Greg Benz, a local musician, also known as Big Papa Benz. He's here to play a little bit and talk to me about his music.
Well, the first part of the Big Papa Benz thing, I don't think I'm some, you know, big icon or whatever, but it's a family name. I'm the fifth generation of Papa Benzes. My grandfather was a Papa Benz. I own a bakery down in Warren. That's where I grew up. But I was the first Papa Benz that came along that was big. All of them were about the size of Barney Fife, but they were all extremely hard workers, you know, good men, but they just weren't very big. So, yeah. And plus it kind of, you know, kind of differentiated me from them. But I've been living in Hot Springs for, I don't know, about 25 years now. Came from Warren, Arkansas. Been playing up here. I worked with C. Dale Davis while he was living here. I actually helped move him here. He's an old blues player. It was on Fat Possum Records. Mm-hmm. He had to learn to play with a butter knife after being struck with polio. And when I met him, he had just had a stroke and didn't think he'd ever be back on, you know, on the circuit again. And I just would go visit him at the nursing home. And after a little while, we'd sit around and pick and play music. And we were in the cafeteria one day on visiting day and sitting there playing a little bit of, I think it was Muddy Waters. And he started just belting out these songs. And I looked around the whole place, everybody's, you know, foot was tapping and head nodding. Mm. And it was like a geriatric juke joint. And afterwards he told me, hey man, we need to book some gigs. And next thing I know, I'm doing a couple of European tours with him, doing a couple of records and traveling the world and learning a lot about life from him, really, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that's very interesting because some people, they can do it into their old age and sometimes you don't expect it, but yeah.
Yeah, when I met him, like I said, he was 80 years old, and he'd already been struck with polio when he was a kid. Had to relearn how to play guitar. This is back in the 20s and 30s in Helena, Arkansas. And on top of that, his mama didn't allow, blues to be played in the house because she was a sanctified healer. She said, you'd die and go to hell. And he said, well, I'm going to die and go to hell if I don't do something. Mm-hmm. So he had to go hide behind the woodpile to learn how to play with a butter knife. He had to change his guitar to another hand and start playing with a butter knife because he had lost a lot of the use of his hands. And when I met him, I had just been struck with psoriatic arthritis and I was really considering quitting playing. Wow. All my hands are pretty crooked, you know, they lock up all the time. But I just redeveloped my strategy, started doing open tuning, like, you know, this right here is open G. So it makes it a little easier. It's really good for slide playing.
Yeah.
So you just kind of, you know, adapt. And he kind of made me ashamed of myself, to be honest with you, because here he was. He was 80 years old at that point and had everything in the world hit him and a stroke, which I thought he was out for the pitcher, you know, for the rest of the game. And lo and behold, he comes back. We play all over the world several times. We played together for 11 years. He passed away when he was 91. And he lived here at Canyon Springs and also lived at the Aristocrat for quite a while. And we did two records. One of them we did out in Seattle, the last one, Even the Devil Gets the Blues. And we had all these rock cats join us. We had guys from Mike McCready from Pearl Jam played on it and Peter Buck from REM. And, wow. Guns N' Roses, what's his name, Duff McKagan, and Barrett Martin of the Screaming Trees, which was his label, Sunyata. So what I learned from him was that, you know, just keep planning on what you're doing next. He was 91 when the congestive heart failure hit him so hard, and he had had that happen before, and he'd always come back. He was planning on his next move. He wasn't planning on dying. That was just kind of his motto. He said, plan on living, you know, don't worry about dying. You know, dying will take care of itself. And so, I brought this little cigar box in. This is my son, Zach Benz, built this. He's a great guitar player. He's a pretty good, luthier. But it's just got three strings on it. And it's an open tuning. So what that means is if you do that, you hit the chords without fretting, it's a G chord or whatever you tune it to.
Yeah.
So it makes a really good writing instrument, because a lot of songs are written on acoustic guitar anyway, the rock guys, the blues guys especially. So it's good to have it around, and when you feel that, you know, a little lightning or a little mojo comes around, you have it in hand. But what I've been working on now is it's a song about, and I'll play a verse of it, but it's about, it's how B.B. King named his guitar Lucille.
Yeah.
I had a great fortune of meeting B.B., went on his tour bus with him in Memphis, and hung out with him for a while. Really nice, gracious man. And another story is I went to hand him my guitar, and he grabbed it by the headstock, and he put a hole in his finger. Oh. There's a little string. It was just up, and yeah. I keep mine cut down, yeah. But he puts a hole in his finger. And I'm like mortified. It's B.B. King. You know, he's an icon. He's one of the greatest. And I'm thinking they're going to kick me off the bus. I'm probably going to get beat in the alleyway. And, you know, it's just how it is. And he starts laughing. And he says, what did he say? He said, where are you from, young man? How he would say it. And I said, Warren, Arkansas. And he said, well, I know Warren, Arkansas really well. He said, I used to play there all the time back in the day. It's what they called the Chitlin Circuit. They would play black-owned businesses, and they would have a place to stay in black-owned hotels and stuff like that. And my hometown was a pretty regular stop. A lot of great artists played there. I didn't find this out until I was much older. But he even pulled up and recalled this. He had a show he did there in the 50s with Little Richard opening up for him.
Wow.
What was really cool about it was he disarmed me. I was sitting there just freaking out. And he changed it, you know. He changed the whole subject just to keep me from being, you know, overly uncomfortable like I was. And to me, I like telling that story. I've told it a bunch of times. Just the fact that, you know, I've met some famous people, and some are okay, and some of them are not so okay. And then you got people like him. That's a class act.
Yeah.
You know, he was more worried about me than he was himself.
Yeah, it's hard to do when you reach that level.
Or is it? You know, I've met some other ones I worked with, and they'd go around. All you hear was, "Do you know who I am?" And you know, when that happens, you think, "Well, you know, I don't know if I want to know who you are anymore." But this song in particular, he also told me this story. Now, he named his guitar Lucille after he played at a gig in Twist, Arkansas. Nobody knows the story. I just visited it recently, but he told me he said. They had like kerosene barrels in there full of rags and barrels with kerosene rags in them, and they would light them on fire to keep heat and light in these places, which sounds really dangerous to me. I hope they had a window open. But so two guys got in a fight and knocked that barrel over and caught the place on fire. And BB said he was outside and he was like freaked out, realizing his guitar was in there on the bandstand. So he goes running in there in the flames. He says he barely got out with his life and his guitar. And he found out the name of the girl that the fight started out over was named Lucille. And he decided he was going to name his guitar Lucille to remind himself never to do anything that stupid again. Which I thought was pretty brilliant. But this song, what I'm working on, and is from the perspective of one of the men that just gets, he's smitten with this Lucille, and he's going to a dance to hope that, you know, it's going to change his life, and he's met the woman of his dream, so. Can't seem to get you off my mind. Think about you, girl, all the time. All I can do now is hope and pray that you'll see my way. See my way. I love you, girl. Lucille, I need you, girl. Lucille, yes, I do. Who's that man you're talking to? Does he mean something to you? Oh, I tell you, I can't deny, I become a jealous guy. This jealous guy.
Hey guys, this is Kimberly.
And I'm Mason.
We're with Hillstead.
We're a local rock band based right here in Hot Springs, Arkansas. We write, record, and play music here in the Spa City and around the state.
We'd love for you to check out our music streaming on all platforms now. Find us on Facebook and Insta and look for our upcoming shows and merch at hillsteadtheband.com.
Thanks for listening.
Wow, that was really good.
Thank you. It's like, kind of hard doing it here because there's no reverb. There's nothing comes back to you.
It doesn't bounce around in here. Yeah. But that sounded really Delta. I like that.
Thank you. I can't really help that, but sometimes the stuff I get to, I'm very Delta influenced, and I'm very, I like a lot of hill country too, you know, because when they get this stuff.
Yeah,
that kind of stuff, you know, where it's just, it's between bluegrass and blues.
Yeah.
But Sedale himself, he was known as one of the last hardcore Delta blues singers. And he did rub off on me a lot. I wasn't really trying to go for his style as much as if you're playing with someone that long, you can't really help it.
That's true. Yeah, you kind of are influenced by all the people around you in a way. That's why the regions like the Delta formed, because like one person would play with another and they would kind of rub off on each other.
I agree, and I like, to me, the way I look at blues is, you borrow from the past, kind of present your own little flavor in it, kind of sort of make it your own. Not like I go to play at blues festivals, and you see somebody there that's just trying to play Muddy Waters or Robert Johnson verbatim. I'm not knocking them, they're really good musicians, but it just makes me want to hear Muddy Waters. But if you do kind of your own thing, I don't know, I think it's better. And I enjoy like in that there is no chord change. Now I know quite a few chords.
Yeah.
But there's something about a hypnotic thing that's Delta. Mm-hmm. John Lee Hooker would do it. R.L. Burnside would do it too. But his was more a little hill country. But he would just stay in that drone.
Yeah, and, it's droning on, and it keeps you like it's a malaise. You kind of are stuck in it.
It's malaise. It can be a plethora of emotions. It can be sexual. It can be sad. It can be happy.
That's true.
It's just whatever groove you get into. I mean, that's kind of a minor key, but but that doesn't necessarily mean where it's going to go with it. So I don't know. At this point, I don't think I have any choice but to play that style for the most part. But I like a lot of rock and roll. I did some rock tracks out in Joshua Tree at the Rancho de la Luna. You know, it's where like Queens of the Stone Age and stuff record. And I'm working on trying to finish a record right now. I've been up on Y Mountain doing a little recording this last couple of weeks, trying to finish up a collection of songs that are driving me insane. I like them. I like them myself. Whether anybody else likes them, it'd be nice, but it's not the main thing. I've got to get them out.
Yeah.
And I'm finishing up the book of my travels with Sedale Davis, which is, I'm only doing that as well. I don't know that it'll be a bestseller. I would read it, and the stories are just crazy. I mean, from being robbed in Vienna, to playing on stage with so many rock people over the years. One of my favorite ones is we played on stage with Peter Buck from REM. I don't REM's not as popular as they used to be, but I love them. But he was playing bass, and I'll never forget that Sadel called out a song and nobody had heard before, and kicks, he says, it goes like this, and you know, he like, it's in G, and he'll go hit it off into it. And I had Peter Buck come over to me in the middle of this. He's playing bass, I was playing slide, and he gave me this really scared look, like, what the heck are we doing? And I'm like, I don't know, man, I'm just trying to hold on, it's in G. And not, I didn't consider myself better or worse than him, I just thought it was funny, because this dude has played in front of big arenas, you know, and this made him scared. I thought to myself, I really should be terrified. And the same thing would happen. We went out on the Tedeschi Trucks tour with in opening for them for a series of shows. And we get on a stage, with, you know, in front of 5,000 people. And if you start a song that he wasn't really that interested in, he would kind of let you play it for a while and he wouldn't start singing it. And so you would kind of have to, you know, tastefully end it. And then and talk to him, hey, and get in his ear and say, hey, what are we going to do? And that usually turned out to be my son, because in the early days he would listen to my suggestions, and we didn't have any animosity. I loved him dearly, and he called me different names depending on how he needed it. You know, if one minute I'd be his band leader, the next minute I'd be his manager, then next I'd be his friend. Or he never told me personally, but he had told a lot of the nursing staff that he thought of me as a son, which, you know, I want to believe that that's true. He never told me that. He wasn't really Philly kind of guy, but he was a good man, and he was completely in a wheelchair for 50 years of his life too. That's something else that needs to be known on that. And we luckily I had a really good friend and harmonica player was a nurse, so that was the way we were able to travel and get out, because he needed complete care. So we did several tours. We went from, man, Seattle to New York to New Orleans to Minneapolis, and then several European tours where we went from London to Serbia. Don't really recommend the Serbia thing. No offense to Serbians. They were great fans. But when we were there, they still had signs up on the side of the road that says, do not get past this point. There's still active landmines.
Yeah,
landmines. Yeah, it's not something you really want to, you know, you definitely don't want to be drinking and being around that, for sure. So it was an amazing experience, and I'm trying to finish and get it down, just because I feel like it'd be a shame that it wasn't documented, mainly.
Yeah. Well, what's that book called?
What it's going to be called? It's my book. It's my book that I'm writing, so it's not quite finished. But one of the working titles is Cross Pollination Blues, and that's kind of where I come from. I mean, to me, the most interesting blues is stuff that just doesn't stick to a formula. I mean, you get stuff. Yeah. Then you get stuff like the Black Keys, you know, and you know, a lot of stuff that you know, a lot of people gave the Stones and Zeppelin a hard time, but you know, they did borrow, and they did. I mean, sometimes they outright stole lyric-wise. That's where they got in trouble, I think, with Willie Dixon. They had to pay pretty big settlements, my understanding, over the lyrics, but at the same time, they kept that going, and they were getting this stuff in England, and they were turned on by it. And then they come to the United States and play it and turn, you know, the American youth onto it. I wasn't a big Stones fan early in the days, but when I was watching and researching more, you know, they insisted. My understanding, the only TV performance that Howlin' Wolf ever did was on a show in the States. I think it was a Shindig or something. The Stones were playing, and they said the only way they would play is if Howlin' Wolf came on and performed the song. Huh. Now, you know, that's sticking your neck out during those days, and, you know, I think they deserve some credit. And they weren't just necessarily copying, you know, blues verbatim, because if they were doing that, if they were doing Love in Vain exactly like how Robert Johnson did it, it would make me want to go listen to Robert Johnson.
Yeah.
It's like listening to, a Black Sabbath cover band. It just makes me want to go hear Black Sabbath.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, true. And believe it or not, they started out as a blues band. Yeah. It's what's crazy.
Yeah, their first album, The Wizard, I think had harmonica and...
Oh, yeah. I think it was self-titled Black Sabbath. Yeah, and it had the song The Wizard.
Yeah.
With Ozzy playing harp on it. And yeah. That was a good record.
It's
but
crazy.
Even before that, it was real. They were kind of known as a blues band.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy when you look back. That album's over 50 years old now.
Yeah, and it still holds up. Have you noticed that? I grew up on that stuff. You know, I grew up in South Arkansas, a Southern Baptist deacon's son, and I was listening to all that stuff I could. I'd be putting on headphones and But that was one of the few records my mother didn't like. We had a Master of Reality was playing on the radio on the turntable, and I had borrowed that record. And she had come through the house, had a business at the other end, and she heard it. It was so scary, Senator. She picked it up off the turntable and broke it.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, oh, no. And I guess my buddies, and I said, and then I read their lyrics. It was one of the songs on there is After Forever. If you read some of those lyrics from that record, it almost sounds evangelic.
Yeah.
But I don't, it really wasn't. But my point is, they had an open mind about it, and they took music. That's what I like about art, you know. And you know, I don't want to see an exact replica of something. You know, put your own 2 cents into it, put your own humanity in it.
Definitely.
You know, that's what I look for.
Definitely. So tell me, where can people find your music? Are you online anywhere, or do you have...
I'm online. We've got you can find the CD record, the Sadell Davis records I did. I did Last Man Standing. We did that over at Fat Possum Studios in Oxford. You can find that on streaming services like, you know, iTunes, and you can find... the last one, Even the Devil Gets the Blues, on streaming, and then mine hopefully will be on streaming soon under Big Papa Ben's, and so that's where we're going with that, and hopefully have the book kind of come out close to the same time. And I just want to, you know, I love getting out, and I like storytelling, and I like playing music, and I don't see you know, stopping that anytime soon, you know. Lord willing, the creek don't rise.
Yeah, so is there anything else you want to add before we wrap things up?
No, I appreciate you having me in, and I appreciate whoever sent me this way, and appreciate your time. You know, I play all over here. I play for the Parks Department down Trails and Parks. I have 8 Air Fair. I've been playing down there for a long time. It's one of my favorite places to play because you have a mixed crowd. You might have toddlers, and you might have, elderly. I love that. We'll be playing a variety of festivals this summer. Yeah, just, you know, keep on rocking in the free world.
Yeah. So I want to thank you, Greg Benz, for coming on the show and playing a little song for me.
Yeah.
It was nice talking with you.
Same here, brother.
End of the line. New episodes are released every week from the Razorback Camper Sales Studio. I'm your host, Lance Brownfield, and I'll see you next time in the Hot Springs Underground.
Hey, podcast listeners, we've got a special deal just for you, $4.99 for 2 months, and it includes all of our digital access. I'm talking about all of our online content, our daily news clips, our puzzle library, and so much more. This is valid for new subscriptions only, so if you've been waiting to try it out, now's the time. Visit the link hotsr.com/podcast23 to get this great deal.